morning, Lord, as we have worshiped you in spirit, I believe, and in truth, for the words of these songs were truthful, Father. They were right from your scriptures. And I thank you for the words that are also truthful, that are coming prophetically and just from encouragement to those that are listening to your voice. Now, Lord, I have the responsibility to bring the message this morning, and I pray that the words that I speak this morning will be words that will be directly from heaven. Holy Spirit, help me to convey the message that you want people to leave with here today, not just to leave here having their ears tickled, but, Father, to make a real change in their lives, Father, so that, Father, we do pursue that holiness that you're all about, that obedience that was just shared, Father. We tend to forget that obedience releases blessing, and that obedience was not nailed to the cross. Our sins were nailed to the cross. The penalty of sin was nailed to the cross, but obedience, no. Heaven is all about obedience, and that's still part of our lives. Thank you for forgiveness, and thank you for this opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot going to be a lot of confirmation with this message, and I'll try to move through it not fast, but it's pretty much a compilation of the last 20 years. And you're going, oh, my God, we're not going to get out of here till 12:50. No, it's not really that. I've entitled it Judging the Prophetic Word. The Lord tells us in here that there's so many people that call themselves prophets out there these days. You don't know who's a prophet and who's not a prophet. You know, and the only way that you're really going to find out is if what they've said comes to pass. And some of the words that they speak aren't until future, so you got to put it on a shelf for a while. But what I want to talk about today is over the last 20 years, the prophetic word that has been out there that has been common to most of those guys that have had credibility and have had success as they've spoken the prophetic word, it has come to pass. So what I'm going to be speaking to you today about is going to be coming from prophets that have credibility, prophets that have spoken a word in advance and having had that word come to pass. So they have substance, okay? We're not just going to randomly pick out these guys, okay? And I'm just going to compile it for you. And what I want to show you is that the word that's been spoken since 2001 all the way to 1998 to 2019. And then I want to share with you the most important part, which is the prophetic word which has been spoken in 2000 and for 2020 by a number of credible prophets. Again, those that, quote, people look to in America at least and some other places of the world as those prophets that have been very accurate. You know, is it going to be? We'll know by the end of this year, right? And you can judge the word I'll speak to you today by the end of this year. But I want to lead into that, giving you what's been spoken over the last 20 years. General agreement that concerning the prophetic word for America has been one of warning over the last 20 years, warning. And this has placed the church at a crossroads. Psalm 11:3. We get a warning from God in his word, and the prophets warn us. And Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? We have a responsibility to what was just spoken by all of you, to walk in obedience to God's word. Paul said there are elementary things that we need to learn, like the laying on of hands and repentance. You know, you can read through that in the scriptures, so I'm not going to get into that. But there are those things that when we get saved, those are the elemental things that we should learn and take in and abide by. And then he says we need to go from spiritual milk to spiritual maturity, into bigger things. So that means when we get off of those things, in other words, you know what? You should be living a life of repentance. You should be living a life of obedience. You should be living a life where our words that we are speaking are profitable for others to hear. We should be that light on a hill. These are things that we've heard since Bible stories, since we've been kids. But then, you know, as we mature in those things, now we become the hands and feet of Jesus, the church, the one man, the one new man. Which is what? Those Messianic Jews in Israel as well as the church combining into one new man. And in the end, all Israel shall be saved, right? We are those who are supposed to declare the righteousness of God to a world. But how can we declare God's righteousness if we're living unrighteously, right? The foundation of us being Christians is, to me, not being hypocritical. Coming in here on Sunday and actually, woo, and then leaving and acting, you know, and mistreating your waitress or acting, you know, with your words in a manner in which is demeaning to people. I mean, that'll take that whole Sunday thing right out in the window. We're Christians. We follow the Lord. That means He's our master, ruler, owner, savior. What He has to say isn't just to great reading. It's to take in and to, literally, He had some of the prophets, I'll eat this word, take it in, let it become part of your spirit. Because it's the spirit of a man that what? Rules over him in his weaknesses. When your soul cries out for, like Eric said, those fleshly things, your spirit man has the capability of overcoming that. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If you don't do it, you're going to be walking in the flesh. If you do it, your spirit's going to take over, and it's going to put you in check. We have to remember that there are foundations that we learn from this word that we have to live on and stand on, because if the foundations are shaken, what can the righteous do? Yeah, and with the righteous meaning, yeah, we're going to heaven and we're saved, but we're living in a world that's been turned upside down that has no light preaching the true gospel. We've watered down the word. We're wanting numbers to come in, and we're willing to sacrifice the word to bring in the finances or the programs so that you guys can feel good. I'm not here to make you feel good. I'm here to convict you so that you become who you're supposed to be in Christ. I still want to make you feel good and love and grace and mercy. I want to preach on that, but that's not the problem. We're not having a problem with love, mercy, and grace. The problem we're having is with obedience. The problem we're having is walking in those foundations and sticking to those. And that's why iron sharpens iron, and that's why we need each other, so that we can hold each other accountable. A church that doesn't hold each other accountable, that's not in relationship with each other, that's just coming in to sing songs, benediction, and you're out, is not, where are you going? I'm just trying to emphasize that it's important that we're in relationship with God first and foremost, but then we have to be in relationship with one another. By nature, we're in each other's lives because we're going to spend eternity with each other, so get used to each other now. Your rough edges will be taken off by then, but you know. Well, the question was, well, what can the righteous do? Well, you know, the righteous can pray. Because we communicate with God, and then we get God's assistance. And see, you can't do anything on your own strength. Only through Christ can you accomplish those things that are impossible with man. God is the God of the impossible. He can break through the things that you can't break through. Over the last 2 decades, we've observed layers of darkness cover much of our land, just like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet, where has the church been with the voice of truth? We've seen America's... Now, remember, I'm speaking what the prophetic word has been speaking. This is not my sermon. This is what the prophetic word that's been out there for the last 20 years, the prophets that have been hearing from God, thus saith the Lord, about America and about our lives, this is what's been going on. We've seen America's foundations cracking, right? And because of it, we have witnessed events such as 9-1-1, broad-scale economic collapse, earthquakes, flooding. We've read about it in the papers. A lot of people point to it as like, you know what, America, there's cracks in our foundation. We thought 9-1-1, people poured into the church, people began to get repentant. We thought there were going to be a turnaround at that point in time. And what happened? It got complacent. They kind of forgot about it a little bit, and then everybody got back into their old worldly ways again. Churches began to decrease. They didn't want to hear it. Got angry at God. They weren't convicted. They were getting angry at God. Folks, this is not God's will for America. We were founded upon Judeo-Christian principles. It has happened because of the cry of sin in the land has been louder than the cry of prayer. Prophetic words. Coming out and saying, God thus saith the Lord, the cry of sin in our land has been louder than the cry of prayer. That's an indictment to the church, to you and me. America has made money, pride, and human achievement their gods. In the name of rights and freedoms, America has been rejecting God's statutes and standards to serve ourselves. We watched the laws changed up through 2016-17. Last 3-4 years, I think you've been seeing some things changing as far as Christians are concerned. Laws are being changed. We're getting our rights back. Prayer's going back into schools. Abortion's going to be eliminated under at least this administration. Now, you may not like the president we have. You may think his mouth runs amok, and it does. But the fact is, if you scroll down on his accomplishment, what he's signing into orders here is the fact that it is pro-Christian. And the prophets say that in the next term, he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to see that. You can believe it or not, but if this is the prophetic word, you know what? We're going to know by the end of next year. So don't come at me. It's the prophetic word that's out there. And we're going to know whether it comes to pass, because that's what the prophets do. We test the prophets. Does it come to pass? But it makes sense to me as I read this because money, pride, and human achievement have been what's been happening in America. We've been rejecting God's statutes and standards to serve ourselves. Only by God's grace has he withheld even greater consequences, I believe, to America. God wants to hear the cry of brokenness coming from us, not the cry of anger. The Lord is looking for those who will not fear and have enough faith to stand up and claim this nation back from the enemy. Amen? We have to return to pursuing, and again, you're going to hear all the words that you spoke today. We have to return to pursuing holiness. God has not called pastors to comfort his people in their sins. I'm going to say that again. God has not called pastors to comfort his people in their sins. He's telling pastors to call his people out from worldliness and into repentance and total surrender. We did this last Sunday in our prayer service. That's how we started our year. Praise God. God wants us living in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Did you hear me? God wants us living in the finished work of Jesus Christ, proclaiming and demonstrating his salvation, his healing and deliverance. God still heals and he still delivers through his body. He's the head, we're the body. Greater things than these you shall do because I go to the Father and I send you the Holy Spirit that was living in me while I was a man on earth. There should be no difference. When I look at Jeremy, I should see Jesus. When I look at Cindy, I should see Jesus. When I look at Pam, I should see Jesus. This is what God's plans for us are. And now it just has to come from within, which it is. He lives and resides within us, right? Lives and moves and has his being there. To without. It has to get out into our hands and our feet. Our speech, right? We heard that. Our actions. It's up to us, folks. We have a choice. Adam had a choice in the garden what to do. Eve had a choice in the garden what to do. I'm here to tell you today, you have a choice every single day what to do. Where you're going to go, who you're going to talk to, how you're going to talk to that person, how you're going to present yourself, even if you don't feel like it. I've seen people suppress their behavior so many times when they're at work because they're afraid they'll lose their job. I've seen people suppress their behavior because they're talking to a president of the United States. But if you talk to your own wife or husband or family or kids, you just feel like there's no holes barred and you just let loose. That ought not to be. Your family and God ought to be first in who you present yourself well to. It takes work. Yes, we're to rest in him. If we allow the Holy Spirit to work, it's rest. If we do it, it's going to be labor and striving and all those things God does not want you to do. He wants us to turn it over to him. And he's not far. We grope around looking for him, and he's right here. If you give into sinful desires, you will wind up in compromise, and you'll be swept away by fear. Because when you get, I don't know about you, but if you really are a Christian, when you get into compromise, I don't know about you, but I feel sick. I almost get fearful. Why fearful? Because I serve an awesome God. And there's a reverent fear because I know that I should be doing better. And that's why I need all of you in my life. Because just as I am holding you accountable, maybe because I have the privilege of being at this pulpit, it doesn't stop you from holding me accountable the rest of the days of the week. I'm not some elevated person up here. I am one gift in the body. That's what's been the problem for, I think, the American church for a long time, is it's been always pulpit ministry, pulpit ministry, pulpit ministry. It's not supposed to be that way. It's body ministry. Because otherwise you take on the personality of the person who's standing up here, and if you all take on my personality, you'll be sorry you ever did that, because you'll never jump out of an airplane, you'll never take risks, you'll never do... I mean, that's just, you know what? We're all different, right? Praise God. There's unity in diversity. We want to be diverse, but we want to be unified. Again, God has released the power of his Holy Spirit within us to make us overcomers. Do you realize when you read Revelation, he talks about be an overcomer. Endure, persevere. From what? From the world, folks. He's talking about perseverance and endurance and overcoming because he knows you're going to have an onslaught of that throughout your life. You need the Holy Spirit to make it through, or you won't persevere and you won't endure and you'll cave. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him, I love it, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that you can ask. So it doesn't even matter what you ask. God knows before you ever ask what you need. And above and beyond that, he's capable of giving you even more than you're asking for. Or think, According to what? The power that works within us. God communicates with God. Did you hear me? He's not going to communicate with your worldly desires and flesh. God communicates with himself. I did a series on God working with God. God communicates to the Holy Spirit within you, and the Holy Spirit within you communicates to you, and you either obey or disobey. It's a choice every day. But God will always communicate with God because he will not let unrighteousness or sin, or he can't be around it, folks. To him be the glory. In the church. Hallelujah. Be better. If not in the church, where, right? And in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. This word is for us, not just the early Christians. Amen. Folks, we have to take a stand against sexual immorality, greed, and every type of evil that is trying to infiltrate our communities, our country, and I'm sad to say our churches. The Lord is looking for that remnant who is willing to do what's right. Anybody fill that in since I say it all the time? Regardless of the cost. We have to be able to do what's right regardless of the cost. It cost Jesus his mortal, not mortal, but human life. I mean, he was a God-man, and he knew the Father was going to take him back home as fully God again. But while he was living here, he was under the power of the Holy Spirit, just like you and I are. Why? To teach us how to be Christians. Christ-like, God-like. That's our assignment. That's why we were placed here. It wasn't for our kingdom, it was for his kingdom. He wanted us to be in fellowship with him. We disappointed him in the garden. But boy, did Jesus give him all the glory in the garden. So much so he sweat blood. So much so he took on that cup. So much so he died for you and for me so that we could be with God forever. He's the only reconciler of the world. There are no other religions. They may state that they're right. They may state that everything that they say is true and all that kind of stuff, but they're going to hell if they don't have Jesus. Because Jesus is the only sinless one that ever has come to this planet to forgive you of your sins and reconcile you to the Father. There's no other way. He is the way. He's Yahweh. His way or no way. You don't like it? You think that's biased? Tough. He's God. You're not. Do what's right. He's not telling us these things to condemn us, folks, or we'd already be toast, okay? Old Testament, what happened when they did those things? Earth opened up. Down they went. Okay, we're not living in the Old Testament. Grace, love, mercy, forgiveness, Jesus, love your neighbor as yourself, pray for those who persecute you. We're in a new covenant. Yeah, God is a God of justice in the new covenant, just as much as he is grace, so we do have to preach that. But thank God the consequences aren't quite as severe as they were in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, right? We're forgiven 70 times 7. Back then, they screwed up. Some of them were just, boom, eliminated. But don't think God still can't do that today. One of the prophetic words was, if some of these mega churches don't get it right and they don't get off this, I'm not even going to get into it, but the prophetic word was that some, and we'll be able to test it now, we'll be able to test it, that some of the big name leaders that you're going to see about will not be around. That's a strong word. For a prophet to say that some of these guys will be removed is a strong word. Test it this year, because that's what they said. The prophetic word, we're talking about what's been going on over the last 19 years. He's telling us these things to convict us so that we will fulfill what? Our divine purpose in him. He doesn't care whether you fill your own desires. He wants his desires fulfilled that he's created in you to fulfill. That's God. That's why you're here. If you're not here for that, if you've got your own plan, why come? Philippians 3, 7 to 11. But whatever things were gained to me, this is Paul speaking, as humble as can be, and I pray it's your prayer. Whatever things might be gained to you in this world, in other words, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. More than that, I count all things to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus. Not just that he came 2,000 years ago and you missed it physically. We live now by faith and not by sight. We're trusting in the records. We're trusting that this word is inerrant. We know that the prophetic word to date has been inerrant, and it's all come to pass. What makes us think that the last little bit won't, right? That's faith. And we know Christ. my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. See, Paul said, it doesn't matter what happens to me. I have eternal value in heaven. So the worst thing that could happen to me is I die. And I'm going to be with Christ forever and all eternity with no pain, no sorrow, no nothing. And I'm going to get a big, huge inheritance and the riches and glory and all of that. That's the expectation. So when you have that kind of expectation, you live for him. So he didn't care about suffering the loss of all things. He said, I count them but rubbish. He says, it doesn't matter what you give me. You could give me $10 million and a mansion and wonderful cars in this life. I don't give a rip because that's all going to pass away so that I may gain Christ. When I know Christ, I got it all already. And I may be found in him. How about that? Can Christ be found in you? Can I recognize him in you? If you went into a court, could he convict you of being a Christian? And be found in him, not having a righteousness of your own, because you're not going to get there by yourself. You can't jump through enough hoops. You can't serve him enough. And it can't come from the law. The law was in the Old Testament. They had to be obedient to it, and if they disobeyed it, what did they have to do? Slit the throat of an innocent animal, and it had to be sacrificed on their behalf, and they had to be genuinely repentant and sorry. Now, today, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He died once and for all of us. So if you get on your knees and you're truly repentant, he's going to forgive you, and you move on. You don't stay under condemnation. You stay under conviction, so it'll move you toward holiness. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. I believe in Jesus Christ, that he came from the Father, that he came down to earth, that he died for our sins, that he was buried 3 days later, he rose again, ascended to the Father. It's like the Nicene Creed or one of those creeds. I learned it in the Lutheran church when I was little or whatever. I had to memorize it, didn't know what it meant, but I know it now. He's coming again to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. That's the part we're living in, folks. He's coming again, soon. Not as a quote, Savior, because that's happening now, but as a judge. And he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff, and he's going to take his own, and he's going to bring them with him. It's a powerful statement, and it's real. That I may know him in the power, what? Of his resurrection. He says we can know the power of his resurrection. Folks, we can lay hands on the sick, and they can recover. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Oh, but we don't want to hear that we're going to have to go through trial and tribulation and suffering to be able to operate in that kind of power. Well, you know what? Jesus operated in that kind of power, and yet he was persecuted. What gives you the right to say, I don't have to be persecuted? We're going to be conformed to his death. That's just the way it is. We will all die one day. I want to go out, as it says on the refrigerator, I think my wife got it, I want to be round in third, coming into the home plate, saying, holy cow, what a ride. That's the Christian life. It can be the Christian life. We can live depressed and in our past failures, or we can say, we're forgiven. I'm a new man in Christ today, and what can I do for you right now, Father? And I can do it excitingly, or I can do it with, as Susie said, depressed. And you know, if you are depressed, don't get condemned. Just get convicted. Get around people who are up, and you'll get up. But if you hang around people that are depressed just like you, that's probably going to bring you down. What do we do all this for? In order to that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead? I don't know about you. That's a great statement. I want to get resurrected from the dead to be with my Father in heaven forever and ever. I don't want to descend into hell and be in torment forever and ever. I have a choice, like Adam had a choice. I choose resurrection life with the Father. Therefore, it puts responsibility upon me to have faith. And faith without works, if I don't see fruit in somebody, I wonder if they're even saved. There should be fruit coming from you. Sometimes, and for some of us, because we're a work in progress, we got to squeeze that fruit out of you. But at least if you got it in you, you're going. You may not get a bigger crown than somebody else, but at least you're going, right? But have faith and be pursuing holiness and stay repentant daily. Pick up your cross, he says, and follow me. I'm starting to preach and I'm losing time, so I can't do that. Let me just read you what the prophets have said and what they're going to say, because it's uplifting. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. It doesn't get any more exciting than that. Which leads me to closing this message with what seems to be the consensus among many of today's credible prophets of what 2020 has in store for us as God's people. Okay, I just brought you up to date the last 20 years of what the prophets were saying about how America has kind of, you know what I mean, with our morals and values and laws and all that stuff. But 2020 is a whole new ballgame, folks. I'm ready to tell you. The prophets' words have changed. The word they're receiving from God now is God's done with that, okay? We've had that opportunity. Now here it comes. 2020, it'll be a time where God is going to open up the heavens for the saints who have been faithful. Notice they say that it's going to be opened up for saints who have been faithful. It'll be a remnant. It's not going to be everybody. But it's going to be for those saints who are faithful, we're going to see an open heaven. Do you know what that means? I mean, God is going, what do you want? What do you need? Where are you going? And he's going to open that heaven, and we're going to see. Well, I'll tell you what you're going to see. Or at least these prophets are telling us what we're going to see, and we'll judge it. He's going to bring favor and victory and remove the spirit of heaviness. 2019 was a year of shedding things off that have not been godly, both in the church and our government. The fruit of our prayers and intercession have been effective and are going to increase. Joy is on its way, and the least likely of people that you would think could accept and carry out God's purposes will show up in the church and prevail, giving God all the glory. The ones with the purple hair and the earrings and all that kind of stuff. Oh, what are they going to do for God? You're going to wait and see what they're going to do for God. Because that younger generation, as the millennials, or this younger generation, as those who came through the baby boomer generation, they're going to raise up these young generation people. It's time to be spiritual with dads and moms, no matter how old you are. Fill their cup, folks, with the things of God. God's presence will be felt, and it will be led by a younger generation, as I just said, that will be properly mentored by the older generation. It'll be a year where we will see God's strength exhibited through his people doing great exploits. This is the prophetic word for today by multiple prophets that have gotten the same vision from God for 2020 and beyond here. God is going to release greater measures of his wisdom, strength, and power. Strongholds that have ruled over this nation will be pulled down. Strongholds such as abortion and homosexuality. God is also going to expose any evil that has infiltrated the church because of improper leadership, such as watering down the word of God and ignoring the holiness of God by tolerating sin. Yeah, I got one amen on that one. There we go. He will deal with these leaders harshly. That's what I was telling you about before. They spoke and they said, these leaders that are just sweeping sin under the rug and they're not holding people accountable in love. I mean, come on, folks, we know that. When we hold each other accountable, we don't do it brutally. We do it in love. Because we want to what? We want to keep the blessing of God pouring in and out of this body. We're one body. God is also going to deal with these leaders harshly. He will continue to purify his church and our nation, which will bring with it his blessing. God will also expose false prophets and wolves in sheep's clothing, both in the church and in the secular realm. And that part of our government, colleges, and media that is corrupt will be silenced by the power of God. God is going to invade our colleges where they're being taught that God does not exist, and the Holy Spirit is going to deal with those professors who have challenged him and release his power to convert our children right before their eyes. And for all the others who have said God is dead or that we're out of touch as Christians, God is going to take their wealth and he's going to give it to the righteous. Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is being stored up for the righteous. It will be a year that will begin the recovery of all that the devil has stolen from God's church. Physical healings will increase, hearts will be mended, and the joy of the Lord will be flowing, resulting in a triumphant spirit that will spread throughout his church. Relationships, get this, relationships and unity will begin to increase within the body of Christ. And gifts and ministries that have been dormant in ministers because of past failures will once again thrive because of the gift of God that still burns within them. Nobody's getting thrown out. For repentance brings refreshing, and God will strengthen their anointing again. Those that truly have God's heart for people will release the wisdom of God to a world that will be searching for answers. Folks, the greatest days of the church will commence in 2020. As the church begins to increasingly cast out demons, raise the dead, and lay hands on the sick. So be encouraged this year, folks. The best is yet to come. God's lifting us up in 2020. So, New Testament Christian Fellowship, we can either embrace this prophetic word and begin to act upon it, or we can simply ignore it or claim that it's false. Now, the Bible does tell us to test the prophetic word. So let's examine it and say to ourselves this. Does it line up with the heart of God and his, does it line up with the heart of God and his written scripture to us? Or is it just wishful thinking? Well, a prevailing, God-empowered church sounds biblical to me. After all, we were created and designed to triumph as the bride of Christ. Right? It's the Word of God. One thing for sure, we'll know whether it's credible and all this is true by the end of this year. So we judge it. Okay? I choose, I don't know about you, but I choose to be in a prevailing, God-empowered church that's been destined to rise up in a time in which we live before the coming of Christ to represent him in a powerful, powerful, anointed way. But again, do not dare pass judgment on this word. Listen, do not dare pass judgment on it by being passive in 2020. Let's fulfill our assignment as Christians by doing our part, and then we can truly measure the prophetic word accurately. Did you hear what I said? Don't sit back and passively and not do anything and expect that the prophetic word is going to come to pass, because the prophetic word is counting on the church to rise up and be who she's called to be. We'll judge this word after we've done our part. I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord in 2020 and expect God's empowerment and God's favor. Eric.